Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. I am delighted to be talking about Clatsop Community College. What an incredible resource in the Columbia Pacific region. We are fortunate enough today to have the president of Clatsop Community College, Jared Hogue, with us. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning. It's great to be here.
Really delighted to have you here. And also we have Julie Kovach. She is the Director of Communications and she has been with Clatsop Community College for a decade. We're celebrating her 10th year. Thank you so much, Julie.
Thank you. Yes, it's great to be here.
Before we begin talking about the terrific offerings at Clatsop Community College and what it does, and for those who are listening who may not have heard about Clatsop Community College, there are facilities in Astoria and Seaside. The main campus is in Astoria. They offer workforce training along with all the wonderful other classes, arts, communications, maritime, a completely unique organization. And their mission is to offer steps to higher education and support life transitions through empowering their students. And I can't say enough good about Clatsop Community College. To me, it's like a kid in a candy store when you see all the offerings, like, I want to learn about this, I want to learn about that. Anyway, okay, before we start talking about that, please tell us a bit about yourself, Julie Kovach.
Sure. So like you said, I've been at Clatsop Community College for 10 years, and it's gone by actually much more quicker than I've typical 10 years goes by. But before that, I was working at Montana State University Billings for 15 years. So a good solid 25 years in higher education for me. So.
And yeah. You love living in Astoria and being at Clatsop.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. It's been a wonderful move out here. It's the perfect place for me. I wouldn't choose anywhere else.
Well, we're lucky to have you. Thank you, Julie. And Jared, please tell us about yourself, because you've been with Clatsop Community College for how long now?
I just hit my 2-year mark, so I'm still getting accustomed to everything. But I'm familiar with the area. I grew up in St. Helens. My dad was a operator at Trojan. If I don't know if you remember that, out in Rainier, the nuclear facility.
Yes, yes.
So that was my connection to the area. And of course, I was really into athletics. So I knew the Co-op League well and traveled to Astoria and Seaside and all those kind of things. I really cut my teeth into higher ed in the workforce development side. And so that was, sometimes presidents come from former faculty, but I really got started in community colleges in workforce development. I loved that connection between needs of employers and connecting them with job seekers. And so I spent 14¾ years at Mount Hood Community College in Gresham, and then worked for a couple private education companies before joining Clatsop Community College 2 years ago.
Well, let's learn a little bit about Clatsop Community College for those people who aren't familiar with it. So Julie, give us a little bit of the history of Clatsop Community College, please.
Sure. Clatsop Community College was established in 1958. So we've been serving the community for 68 years. And it started actually through the Astoria Board of Education. So the high school education system, which is kind of cool. They had built a new building for the high school and wanted further education for students to stay local, start, getting transfer degrees, that kind of thing. And so they started the community college as an evening program at that new high school location. So for the first 4 years, we were located in the new high school facility, just late afternoon and in the evening, offering classes there. They did all have the transfer option right away, but also I love knowing that they started immediately offering vocational training in computers, which, was a new area, electronics, automotive, business. So right away there was this great opportunity for, yes, you may want to go on to a university, but you may want to stay here and, have a degree and just better yourself and have a good job locally. So I love that we've carried on that tradition to now. In 62, that's when the city of Astoria gave us the old high school building, which is now the Lexington campus. So Toler Hall, Columbia Hall, the whole campus on the hill. So in 62, we were given that space to create the college ourselves. And at that year, we also separated from the Astoria High School system and created our own Clatsop Community College Board, and became our own entity, which is great. And then from there, it just expanded in programs. And then in the 90s, mid-90s, that's when we started having offerings over at the Mertz campus as well. And the Mertz campus now holds all of our technical education classes, like the maritime, the welding, fire science, all of that out there. And then our Lexington campus holds more of those transfer options as well as our nursing program.
Well, Clatsop Community College is unique in many ways. What are some of the things that you know about Clatsop Community College that you think perhaps the listening audience, the community, or perhaps even students are not familiar with?
We are unique. We definitely have those unique programs, and I think we're known for them, though. We're known for our maritime science. If you go out to Mertz, I don't think a lot of people get out to Mertz. It's a hidden gem out there. And so if you go out and, go to an open house, we're holding open houses out at Mertz now. Go and check that out just to see what options locally there are for education. I wish more people knew the actual facilities out there so that they could share it with others or use it themselves.
Jared, when you decided to come 2 years ago and take over as president of Clatsop Community College, what did you look at as the strengths and the things that were going well, and then the challenges, and how is that going? I mean, I certainly want us to know how we can support Clatsop Community College, but during these challenging times for higher education, but I'd love your take on that.
I was familiar with some of the challenges because it was in the news, and then I first did some research as I was in the interview process. I would say that, what drew me, well, let's talk about what drew me to the college. I think is the it's fairly small, it's rural, it feels like home. There are some unique programs, especially maritime. That was an attraction to me. Being Oregon's only maritime college, I think, is a real asset. Let me say this, that while there were some challenges, I also looked at it as something that I could help. I knew my background, that I could come in here and at least point us in the right direction. And so I've spent a lot of time, you asked the question, how are things going? And I would say we're trending on a much better direction. We've had 3 straight years of financially where we've operated in the black. We have had to do some belt tightening with our administration, and so it's always a challenge. And sometimes people don't, in the community, don't understand why we're making some of the decisions we've made. But I would just assure the community, these are just things we have to do. And the new reality in higher education, both in Oregon and nationally, is that there are re less resources available. And so we have to be really smart about where we are allocating our funds. Our state funding, the way it works in Oregon with community colleges, is it's a distribution model. So as other community colleges have passed bonds and added programs and buildings and attracted more students, our piece of the pie and our piece of the state funding has actually gotten smaller. And so that's a challenge for us. But having said that, there's a lot of really, really positive things happening. I mentioned that we're in a better financial position. We added 1.3 to our net position a couple years ago, or last year, I should say. We built up our reserves. Like I said, we're operating in the black. Now it's really, where do we want to be in the future? What kind of college do we want to best serve our community? And I think there's some exciting things. We've got our new Idea Lab up on Lexington campus. We have this great opportunity to do maritime simulation. We've got some state match sitting there for an opportunity, and we've got some maritime companies that are interested in partnering with us. We have stabilized our enrollment the last 2 years. We did not have the bounce back after COVID, post-COVID, like some of the other community colleges did. We stayed pretty flat. And so it's been a bit of a grind for us to get that enrollment stabilized and on the upward trend. And so we're gradually making improvements there. So given where we were 3 years ago, I think things are much better. We have a long ways to go. And we need to decide as a college what we want to be in the future with new technologies, and given our limited resources, how do we best make an impact for our community?
Wow, well said, Jared. And what is the student population typically?
Yeah, so there's two measures. One is headcount. We usually have around 3,000 headcount. And then the main enrollment number we use, because that's what our funding is based on, is full-time equivalency. And that's based on seat hours and, you know, equivalating that to a full-time student. And that is around 870. So we've gone, there were years we were up at 1100, and then we've come down a little bit. But that's something similar that's happening across the country, as we're seeing the demographic change and communities making different decisions about education and training.
Well, I know that Clatsop Community College serves Clatsop, Columbia, Tillamook, Pacific, and Waukegan counties, and a way that people can support the college is by taking a class, because then you're a student, and that headcount, that helps you with your funding.
Yeah, there are actually a lot of ways folks can support. I mean, one thing I always try and remind families and grandparents is that, first of all, the amount of savings is in the tens of thousands, and you could even say up to 60,000 when students make the decision for their first 2 years to stay home at a great community college and then transfer to the university, like one of our regional universities or state universities. So we always, you know, I try and think of it as, one, this is an asset that's in your region. Why not take advantage of it and save money and reduce debt and possibly have zero debt? The other ways you can support, yes, take classes, be involved, serve on an advisory committee if you're a professional in the community or work in an organization. There are community education classes, and there's giving to our foundation. Our foundation makes a big impact, not just in scholarships for students, but also meeting unmet needs and funding new equipment and new technologies for our program. So, I mean, reach out to me, give me a call, because if you want to get involved, I can give you lots of ideas how to be involved with the college.
Well, that sounds wonderful. Yes, Julie.
And even just showing up for the college events that we have. I mean, you know, if you're not in a position to take a class, if the time's not quite right for you, even just coming up to the college to check out the art show that's at the Royal Nebuchadnezzar Art Gallery, or coming to one of the open mics that we have, coming to support our students when they do the River Sea Conference in spring term, showing off the projects they've done through the year. It's, you know, we have so many events that are open to our community to come and see what our students are doing. And so we encourage them to support our students in their activities too.
Yes, and to say nothing of the beautiful pavilion. I mean, the ability to walk. Why don't you mention that a little bit, Julie?
Just the ability to come up to campus and use resources. Is that what you're?
Yes. Sorry.
Absolutely. So on the Lexington campus, there's a lot of various things, just based on your interest, that any community member could come and participate in. I mentioned the art gallery already. There are shows throughout the year. So, and it's not just our faculty art or student art. We have artists who come in and have shows throughout the year. We do have student shows. We do have faculty shows as well. But there's always something new about every 2 months up in our art gallery for you to come and check out for free. And then maybe that will inspire you to take one of our classes by chance. So that's one area. Another, it would be the Ideas Lab that Jared mentioned, where we have opportunities for not just students, but for community to come up and learn about and use equipment for sewing, for 3D printing, video and audio editing. If you want to get into any kind of podcast or stop motion experiences, we have opportunities for that, for either low cost or free, just to check things out for our community members as well. We have open mic events that are open for community to also participate in once a term for that.
Don't forget Patriot Hall.
Oh, Patriot Hall, absolutely. We do ask for you to sign up for a term for not a membership, but for to sign up for as an actual student to use our fitness facilities. But we have that indoor running, walking track, cardio equipment, strength training equipment, a full gym on the base floor where we have open gym nights for volleyball, basketball, pickleball. All available to our community. And with the weather changing, coming inside to do some laps around our walking track with the amazing view that we have up here it's a perfect spot.
Yes. Thank you, Julie. When I said pavilion, I meant Patriot Hall. So yes,
oh, indeed. Got it.
Thank you. That's excellent. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk About Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today I have the pleasure of having Jared Hogue. He is the president of Clatsop Community College, on the program, along with Julie Kovach, who is the director of communications. And we've been talking a little bit about the history of the college and how it's functioning. So what are some of the things that you would like the listening audience to know about maybe your community education classes or about the workforce training? You said there's a lot of new energy. You have a new fire science instructor. There's new energy at Mertz. Some things that you think that the listening audience might want to know about right now about Clatsop Community College.
Wow. Well, how much time do I have? I have a lot of exciting things to share. You know, one of the things that we recognize as a small community college is that we're not able to offer the number of like writing sections and art sections as bigger community colleges. And so we've invested a lot in some new technologies where students can join both synchronously, asynchronously, or in a recorded version or live, come to class. We're trying to allow that flexibility because we recognize that when we have community members and students in Seaside and Napa in Ilwaco, that we need to create as much flexibility as we can. So we've invested in some nice technology with really good sound and classroom video. So that's one area is we're trying to meet students where they are and recognize that not everyone can be on campus, you know, between 9 and 4 p.m. That's one thing that we're excited about is creating more flexibility for our students. I think, you know, I mentioned our opportunity at the Maritime Simulation Center. We did a survey with the high school students 2 years ago, actually a year and a half ago. And one of the things that we learned is there are a lot of students that aren't really sure what they want to do, but they say they want to get into the trades. And what that told me is we need to, you know, and talking to some of the high school counselors, they need to, students and families need to see like a clear path of where do I go from the high school? How does the community college prepare me? And what are the career opportunities that are there? And I would say that traditionally, colleges haven't done a great job of helping people understand that. And so once I saw that survey and we got the results of that survey, that was the highest selection was they want to get into the trades. And it was a pretty broad thing. And so we're trying to do more of that short term. You may have heard this, the news article or saw the story that we developed this short term pre-trades, you know, foundations with our HVAC companies. And we had 60 students that were interested. We were able to use a grant to pay student stipends to attend. And it was, we had some really great outcomes and students actually got employment with some of our local trade partners. And so things like that is exciting for us where we can really make a difference in someone's life and who knows what trajectory changed during that training opportunity. And so we're trying to be, you know, sometimes the criticism with higher ed is we're like this ivory tower and we're trying to not be that and be really connected to our community and what the needs are. And so when you say, what do I want the community to know? I want them to know that we are given our, even with our restricted amount of resources, we're trying to do the best we can to create opportunities for our community. And so that's another example that we have. And then I do want to mention that, we've been actively and I guess maybe even proactively trying to connect better with our high schools to make sure those students are getting dual credit and having dual credit opportunities. We talk about college affordability. There's probably nothing that makes a bigger difference than allowing students to get some of their college credits taken care of while they're in their high school. And so that's another focus that we've had, is making sure we have strong relationships with our superintendents, principals, and counselors and high school instructors, so that we're creating affordable pathways for students.
Jared, that is terrific. That is ambitious, and you're really responding to the needs of the community and the students and where we are, the zeitgeist of, what's going on right now, for sure. Julie, over the 10 years that you've been there, what are some of the changes that you've seen that you feel really happy about? Because we know that there are some things that have been really difficult. So are there some things that you want to share with us before the end of the program about what the changes you've seen over the 10 years that you've been there?
Sure. And there've been a lot of changes. Year one, the first year I was here, Patriot Hall was built, the expansion of our facilities to the community right away was a huge thing. The college went tobacco free in that year. There's just, healthy, solid choices that the college has made throughout those years. The technology, I know Jared touched on it already, but offering the ability for students to have flexibility in their learning is so important now. Our average student is not straight out of high school. Yes, we have students straight out of high school that come here, but we have a lot of, moms that have children that, they can't just come and stay on campus for an entire day. They have to go home and they have to take care of family. And so to offer the ability for our students to stay home when needed, take care of a kid if they're sick, but still go to class, still get the information and succeed in doing things, that has grown over the 10 years. Absolutely. Just access and supporting students, making sure things are ADA compliant. We're taking strides in those areas to make sure students have ability to succeed.
Do you want to mention anything about the class of SBDC?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Julie. One of the, I don't like the word hidden gems because I don't want them to be hidden, but as I talk to folks, I realize that not everyone knows about this amazing resource. And our SBDC that we run primarily out of our South County campus and Seaside is one of the top performing small business development centers in the state. And they provide advising, no cost advising, lots of classes for folks that are in business or want to start businesses. And it's one of those things. We have a great team out there. We have great leadership, and it's really well respected and offers some really good programming. So I would encourage anyone that's, looking at a sunset career in entrepreneurship or looking at starting a business to definitely go out and talk to those folks, connect with Kevin Leahy, our director out there. They do a really fantastic job.
That's great. Well, we could talk for a much longer time, but we only have a few minutes left. So, Julie, I'll let you go first. Any last things you would like to say that maybe we haven't talked about to the listening audience before the end of the program?
Just check out the schedule every term online, or we mail them out to the households. Check out the offerings, not only in community education, but also academic, because depending on what you want to do, maybe you don't want to commit to a full term of an academic class. There might be something in community education that's more flexible, shorter term that works. Like what's popping in my mind right now is for the academics in our English department, we're offering an intro to film class. And so that's definitely a more academic class. And what does film communicate and how does that relate to word? You know, it's more of an academic class. But then on the community education side, we also have an introduction to film and filmmaking opportunity. So that's, you know, not for grade. It's going to be just more community education as a hobby situation. So just know there's different levels and different options to choose from and check them all out and see what fits for you and your life.
Whether you're 18 or 81.
Absolutely.
Right. Nice. Jared, any last thoughts?
Yeah, I do. I think we have amazing faculty here. Having been at other institutions, they're very capable, competent, student-centered. We're trying to create this campus and community that is welcoming and positive. And so please check us out and encourage your family members to come to class up and enroll. And we're making strides. We're not out of the depths of some of the state funding challenges, but we're going to keep working on it. And just know that as long as I'm here anyway, we're going to keep grinding and making it a better institution for our community.
Good. Yes. And we can help by supporting the foundation, by taking a class, you know, learning more about, and actually you even have opportunities on the community education side. If somebody is, you know, a retired professor from somewhere else and he wants to teach a community education class, well, there's an opportunity.
Yeah. Let us know if you're interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you two so much for taking the time to be on the program today. I know you have busy schedules because you're on the quarter system and and so classes start when?
September 21st.
All right.
Just a few weeks away.
Good. Well, that gives you all listening time to go through the catalog, look online, take a philosophy class, sign up for and do something to support them. Thank you so much, Julie Kovach. Thank you, Jared Hoag. We support Classic Community College in every way we can. And thank you for all the hard work you're doing.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you so much.
And thank you, Viri, for being our engineer extraordinaire today, making this possible. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until we meet again, which is the first Thursday of each month, Talk of Our Town is at 9 a.m., and actually throughout this day, why don't we just take a moment right now, let's take a pause to stop, close our eyes, and take a very deep healing breath. It is good for body, mind, and spirit. Oh, give yourself a hug or a compassionate pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can. We all do until we know better. For being here now in this moment, the only moment, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.
For this program comes in part from Our Coast Weekend, your source for arts and entertainment news in the Columbia Pacific. Published weekly in the Wednesday Chinook Observer, the Thursday Astorian, and online at discoverourcoast.com.
You just listened to Talk of Our Towns on KMUN. Coming up next at 9:30, an archived episode of A Story Told. Today Explained begins at noon. You're listening to KMUN.